Praise God. Amen. He's so good. My childhood should have been great. I had two loving parents. You guys know the Blejas. My mom homeschooled us, and I was a pastor's kid. I grew up in Chicago. I considered myself a city girl. My parents' genuine love and zeal for the Lord was evident. They would worship in song all the time. It was like the sound of music. And I remember Dad calling out in prayer throughout the day, Mom's attempts to teach the Bible. I say attempts because I resisted almost everything she lovingly tried to teach me. The church we attended then was called Gospel Outreach, and it was ironically not centered on the gospel. I remember personal prophecies, speaking in tongues, people falling backwards on the floor during prayer, and even violently shaking sometimes. Religion to me was rules. Don't play with Barbies or watch The Little Mermaid. Dress modestly. Don't listen to ungodly music. I do remember being sick to my stomach anytime I sinned up until about 9 and coming clean to Mom about various sins. And I got baptized and I said the sinner's prayer early on. But I never really connected my sin to my need of a Savior. I didn't realize the mercy and grace of God. I didn't realize that, you know, His finished work on the cross was good forever. So I would recite the sinner's prayer every time I felt guilty. I remember thinking, I hope I can say the prayer when Jesus starts coming down in order to finish before He comes, you know, before He gets here. I would look at the sky in dread, you know, thinking that I was going to go to hell. So the prayer didn't have power, but I believed in the prayer. And as time went on, I became resentful toward all the rules, all the restrictions. I felt boxed in. I didn't like being homeschooled. I wanted to be free. I felt like my parents were so strict. So, and then it was like the world was just like this, like, this bad place, you know, that I couldn't touch. So I felt trapped. I hated my parents. I began lying and leading a double life. Apparently, I was not saved. Eventually, I just stopped considering God completely. And I met Jerry, my husband, at 14. He became my biggest idol. And when I turned 16, he told me he cheated on me. My whole life fell apart. I just kind of spiraled downward. I was in the world completely. Every chance I got, every freedom I got, I would just do whatever I could to just be out of my mind. I put myself in really bad situations, really dangerous situations, really stupid things, really dumb. My mouth was full of cursing, and I was just completely dead in my sin. Jerry and I were off and on. We tried to make things work. I didn't respect him because I was perfect and he was a liar and a cheater, you know, but, that's not true. Just, that's how I felt. I became pregnant when I was 18, during one of our off and on times, and I was unmarried and unwilling to commit to him. I became a single mom. That was actually a blessing because I was so destructive that having Jaden, my 12-year-old, actually kind of kept me restricted a little bit, and I didn't have as much freedom to just be in the world. So that was a blessing from the Lord. We were moving around a lot. I was getting kicked out of my apartment. I had a girlfriend steal my money and put my account in the negative. I didn't have anywhere to go, so I ended up moving in with Jerry, and we were doing well. We were planning on getting married, and I came clean to him about some of my past sin, and he became very angry at me, and he didn't want to be with me anymore. So I remember sitting alone crying, feeling completely hopeless, and I knew I had nowhere to go and no one to turn to, and I knew I didn't want to be there, and it was literally like from one moment to the next, God changed me. He made me alive together with Christ. I instantly knew how wretched I was. I remembered what I had heard as a child, that Christ had died on the cross for my sins. And it was like a wave of impartation. I just had faith. I cried. I wept over my sin. I repented and gave my life to Christ. It was finally clear that He had paid it all. And I'm so grateful for the blood that was shed for me. And He has cleansed me. I described it as being clean, like new linens that smelled good. There was no more power in a prayer. There was power in his blood. And it was amazing because I wasn't looking for God. He didn't cross my mind ever. My sinful deeds were done with no remorse. There was no explanation for his mercy and grace other than his great love for me. There's nothing else. There's no human deed. There's no kindness that compares to the love of God. He's worthy, and I will worship him forever. Ephesians 2, 1 through 9 says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. And by grace you've been saved and raised us up with him. He seated us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming age he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." God woke me up that day. It was all him. It's not of myself. It's a gift of God. My only boast is in Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. So my life since I came to know Christ, I have a love for God's people. I have a love for the word. The enemy has no power. I can see my sin now. I can choose to obey God. I'm trusting in his bloodshed as the payment for my sins. And although I do still battle sin, I'm growing in obedience to the word and in the fruit of the spirit. Jerry and I were married in 2009, and this is just a testimony. In addition, you know, because this happened, we carried into the marriage a lot of bitterness and anger toward each other and just a lot of baggage. And God is so good just to bring us to himself and to bring us into places where we're just face to face with him alone. And that's what he did during that time. And he became everything to me during that time. He became my shelter. He became the lover of my soul, my best friend, my deliverer. And he answered my prayers. He saved Jerry a year ago. Yeah, praise God. And it's amazing to finally be with him and to be saved together as a couple. It's so awesome. And I'm so excited to see what God is going to do in our marriage and in this church. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to grow with you guys and get to know you guys. And it's a blessing. So 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, "God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong." And Psalm 73:25-26, "This is my heart. Whom have I in heaven but you, Lord? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." So my confession of Christ is, as I come for membership at Living Hope today, I want to confess that Jesus Christ is my Savior. He's everything to me. He's my life, my rock, my all in all. There is nothing in the world worth living for if it doesn't bring glory to him. And when I stand before God and he asks me, if he does ask me why I should go, why he should let me in, it's solely because of what Christ has done on the cross. So a couple verses, 1 John 4:19, "We love him because he first loved us." And 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Thank you.